And this is Morning Edition on WPR News. I'm Robin Washington in Superior. What happens when something once deeply revered is lost, but resurfaces decades later in a secondhand shop? That's a question raised by the recent discovery from a synagogue in Superior torn down in the year 2000. Agudas Akim was one of two synagogues serving the city's small but notable Jewish community, and most of his furniture and artifacts are thought to have disappeared. But the Ark, which is the frontispiece that contains the Torah scrolls, did survive and somehow made its way to an antique shop in Two Harbors, Minnesota. We'll pick up his journey from there with Kate Dietrich, archivist for the Upper Midwest Jewish Archives at the University of Minnesota in the Twin Cities, and Dan Singer, a cantor now living and working in New York, who grew up in Superior with Agudas Akim as his childhood congregation. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio, Kate and Dan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, before we get into where the Ark is now, tell me the historical significance of it and of the synagogue.
So I've actually just completed a chapter that I call the missing chapter, which is something that my father, Barry Singer, was trying to research before he passed away. And he really was looking for information about the people of Agudas Akim. The rabbis were well known. In 1922, Rabbi Morris Hyatt, his real name was Arnovich, he's a uncle of the baseball player that won the 1940 World Series. There's an Arnovich Field that's named after him.
Still there today?
Yeah, still there today.
So that means there are places people are walking by today that still have a connection to the synagogue. Kate, tell us about the religious significance of the Ark. Many houses of worship close or repurpose for other uses. You know, you got entire church buildings that are deconsecrated. Isn't it the same with the Ark?
Yeah, so any community, Jewish community included, has waxing and waning populations where you see a boom of families and growth, and then you see movement elsewhere. And so it's not uncommon to have synagogues, churches, organizations to close. And so as congregations close, buildings close, what do you do with the things in that space? So the main thing being Torah scrolls.
And Torah scrolls remain sacred.
Exactly. But what do you do with an ark, right? What do you do with this essentially, you know, wooden piece of furniture? There's no kind of religious nature to it in the way that a Torah scroll would be, but the ark tells us a story. It tells us a lot about the building, the people, the history can all be encompassed in this one item.
So 25 years later, after the building was torn down, how did it get to an antique shop and what was going to happen to it there? Was somebody going to use it for a fireplace mantle or something?
My understanding is it was located at North Shore Architectural Antiques. And I spoke with the owner, John, and he said that he got it from someone who had found it in a storage container. It had been in that space, the bills weren't being paid, and so this person found the ark inside, and she is the one who brought it to the Two Harbors Antique Shop. Now, John is retiring, so he is selling all of the things in the shop. And so there was a sense of urgency because, frankly, who would want something like this, right? Like, it's also 14 feet tall. So even if you are yourself Jewish, you're probably not going to bring that inside your own home.
I briefly contemplated purchasing it and bringing it home. But I heard about this from the Bear family of Bear Shoes in Superior. They wanted me to help identify the photo that was circulating in the Facebook group, and I immediately recognized it.
So, Dan, you did not take it back to New York with you, although it was a sentimental childhood memory. What was your role, Kate?
So I, too, heard about it through a Facebook post where it was kind of, you know, all hands on deck. this shop is closing, we need to save this thing. But archives, we really focus on documents, scrapbooks, photographs, more two-dimensional things as opposed to three-dimensional things. But the more I learned about it, the more that I found that, you know, whatever archives there were no longer exist. And so the sense of urgency really struck me that if this is the only thing that is left to tell this story, it does belong in the archives. So I started a fundraiser. It costs $1,500 to purchase. It will cost more money to transport it. And thankfully, the community also saw the value in this and fell in love with the story and helped us fundraise enough money to save it. So this week, my student worker and myself, we rented a van and drove the 3 hours up to Two Harbors and loaded it in the back of the van and brought it back down here to Minneapolis, where it is now safely sitting in our storage cavern underneath our building.
And you saved Dan the trouble of taking it all the way to New York.
Yeah. Oh, I just want to say something about Kate and the work that she does in the university and what an invaluable service that they're doing for the Jewish community. You know, I don't think, even if we think of ourselves as preservers, that we can do this on our own. Places like the Upper Midwest Jewish Archives, other archivists with facilities like this massive underground vault. I encourage people to really, you know, fund these places, because they do us a great favor in preserving our own history.
We've been speaking with Superior native and cantor Dan Singer and Kate Dietrich, archivist of the Upper Midwest Jewish Archives at the University of Minnesota, or as they both are becoming affectionately known, Aiders of the Lost Ark. Thank you for joining us, Kate and Dan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you have an idea or unusual but significant artifact you think we should talk about on Morning Edition, send it to us. And that's the idea, not the artifact. Our email address is northern@wpr.org. That's northern@wpr.org. I'm Robin Washington in Superior. This is Morning Edition on WPR News.